Man, this is a great day and to be in the presence of the Lord. I was trying to find something all week to preach, and a lot of times, I always love to preach on grace. I'm a grace preacher to the core. That's just all there is to it. I believe that when the cross came, I told you a few Sundays ago, the Bible said that he nailed the writing to his cross. Amen. And I know a lot of churches like to preach on the law and live by the law, but actually it was nailed to the cross. And if you ever go by the cross, you need to realize, you know, people think that people live bad if they don't have a law. And that might be true if they don't have a love. Amen. Acts 27 and 20. And I began to just read this story. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. That's pretty interesting right there. In other words, the night was just a normal night. It was a night that lasted for many days. And no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Have you ever had a night that you didn't think it was going to ever end? I don't know what caused it. I don't say that you caused it yourself. And have you ever just had one that you thought, my God, will it ever be over? Will I ever wake up and the sun be shining and just be the birds will be singing again and everything will just be at peace and my mind can just go and be at rest? And for many days, neither sun nor stars did appear, and it was like there was just this darkness that's just hanging over it. Some people refer to it as there's just been a cloud hanging over me. I just wonder when the light is going to come on. And I want us to look in this chapter. It is so amazing to me how the Bible can take a literal act and bring it down. As you read the passages, as you read the verses, you see so much of it becomes personal, and it's very much a part of your real life. It's not just a storm that was going on over in around Malta, but it's a real storm that's referencing in your life. And I want us to look at the cause of the night and the cost of the night, but I don't want to leave you hanging there, because the Bible always has the victorious answer, and we're going to refer to the conquering of the night. But let's look in verse 9 of Acts chapter 27 and see the compulsion. You see, sometimes we get into our night because of a compulsion, because we feel so compelled, because we don't have time. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. In other words, they're looking at the time is spent, and if we're going to make our move, we've got to do something. Do you ever had anybody to pressure you? I've got to do something right now. I don't have time to pray about it. I don't have time to think about it. I've just got to make my move. The time is spent. I've got to get active. And sometimes it's the compulsion. We just feel compelled. We've got to do something right now. And so often they use the phrase, haste makes waste. I don't know about that, but you know, sometimes we just feel that it has to be something immediate. But verses 10 and 11, not only the compulsion, but look at the confusion. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Oh, have you ever felt like you were about to enter into a night that there was going to possibly be some damage? Not only the lading and the ship, but also our lives. Have you ever faced a night where it was going to affect your life forever? You were going to be changed. There was something about it. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You've got a slave on board, and he's warning you that something's going to happen. We've got to be careful. We probably don't even need to take this voyage. Oh my God, isn't it amazing when we've read the word of God over and over, and we've had a word from God, but you see, the master and the owner of the ship were on there, and they believed the centurion, and they didn't care. Why should we listen to the slave when the owner and the master? I want to tell you something, friend. I don't care if you're the president. I don't care if you're the king. I don't care if you're the one in power and all authority, but I just stopped by here to tell you, if the word of God ever speaks to you, don't think that your authority and your power is ever going to override the word of God. David said, thy word is forever settled in the heavens. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's not man's authority. It is a power and an authority that supersedes all other powers and all other authorities. It is the word of God. And here comes the confusion. All of a sudden now, you've got the word of man. You've got the word of God. And you've got a make a decision. And in your chaos, Webster defines chaos as the condition of the universe before the creation. Oh, I want to tell you something. Your chaos and your confusion is your condition before God's hand ever touches your life. Hallelujah. But not only the confusion and the compulsion, but the comfort. Verse 12, the comfort. Brother David, how's comfort going to cause my night? And because the haven was not commodious to winter in. This isn't the best place. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. Somebody said that might be because it's over a septic tank. Amen. But this isn't the best place to be. I know that our time is running out. I know that we need to make a move. But this isn't the best place to be. And we're looking for comfort. Maybe you're involved in something. And the more part advised to depart thence also. Because this isn't the most accommodating place. And if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. In other words, there's a gentle place. There's a better place. I think if, you know, I could move from here. It's not that this is real bad. It's just not real comfortable. It's not commodious. It's not exactly where I want to be. I think that just a little bit across the creek over there, everything's going to be just a little bit better. I think that we can make it. But you see, there's this circumstance. And circumstances are always a part of us going into the night. Circumstances can always, you see, Paul wasn't, he didn't have a say. And when the south, look at this, oh, the circumstances, it looked good. Oh, glory to God. Have you ever saw something and it looked good when you started, but it became hell? Who's that knocking? I said, oh, just a little sin. I opened the door and all hell came in. And when south wind blew softly. Say that with me. Blew softly. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. Ooh, the wind's just blowing softly. The circumstances seem conducive for us to move. Oh, it's just the dark outside and there's a gentle wind. Isn't that amazing how things can look one way on the outside, but then all of a sudden it's not what it looks like? Isn't it amazing? Somebody came up with that line. I don't think they made it up. You just to know yourself. I mean, to just, there's always something. It's not always what it looks like. Amen. Everything that glitters is not gold. Hallelujah. Have you ever had one of those experiences and the cause of the night, the circumstances look perfect? It looked comfortable. Oh, there's some chaos involved. Oh, there's a compulsion. And I know we got to make our move if we're going to get there, but we've got to go because it's going to be better. But then the cost of the night. Everything's conducive. Everything looks really good. But everything, they say, comes with a price. And the cost of the night, look at verses 14 and 15. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. What the cost of the night? It was smooth sailing when the south wind was blowing gently. But all of a sudden, there comes a wind that is tempestuous, called Euroclydon. They still refer to that word today. And the heavy wind. And then look what happens. Oh, we couldn't bear it anymore, so we let her drive. What happens? The cost of the night, when it looked like it was the plan, it looked like everything was going your way. Suddenly, when the real wind came, oh, they lost control. You're out of control. Control. Lord, you're just, the wind is just blowing and it causes labor to extract. You're trying to make it happen. You're trying to get it fixed. But the wind just won't let up. In verse 16. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. We're doing everything that we can do. And you try to lighten the load. All of a sudden the night is there. And it didn't end in 10 hours like it usually does. Now it's been many days and the sun didn't appear. And the stars didn't shine. And it was constant. And you just need, I've got to lighten this load. I can't carry it anymore. Verse 18 just says, and being exceeding tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And you're just trying to get rid of the weight. You're trying to get rid of the heaviness. You're trying to get out of from under the struggle. You want the battle to stop. Man, I look at this, and I know we're talking about a storm that Paul was in, but I got a feeling that there's a bunch of people listening to me. But you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? You've been in that storm. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. The cost of the night can be devastating. It can be defeating. I don't care what causes your night. your night could be caused by someone else or something else's activity that could be caused by death. It could be caused by a disease. It could be caused by a disappointment. It could be caused by destruction. It could be caused by despair. It could be caused by some devastation in your life. And it doesn't matter what causes it, but there's that cost to it. But I didn't come by here to tell you that there was no hope. Oh, they said it seemed like there was no hope. It's when it looked like there was no hope, when it didn't think there was any more hope. I came by here to tell you, whenever you thought the hope was gone, I just wanted to remind you, not only do you have a hope, but you've got a blessed hope. Not only do you have a blessed hope, but you've got a power, and you're out of reference to the glory and the goodness of God conquering the night. I want to see verses 21 through 26. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and this loss. And now I exhort you, oh my God, oh the one who said when it seemed like hope was gone, now he said something just happened, and I'm exhorting you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, oh, but of the ship. The ship's going down, but we're not going down. That you were in the storm, you can be of good cheer, because maybe that you were riding on might go down. But if you believe in the blessed hope, you're not going down with it, oh God. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Glory to God. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Boy, can you imagine in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, you got a word from Almighty God. But not only did you just get a word from God, but Paul said, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. That island they were cast on was the island of Malta. I remember flying over it, going to India, and they were showing the map. And I'm 39,000 feet above it. But I see that little name and that little island, Malta. And I'm thinking about Paul and this experience that he had, and how the whole ship, the Bible says, that some swam to shore, some made it on planks. The boat went down, but everybody made it. And it was because Paul said, be of good cheer. I heard from God, and I believe God. That is the twofold answer for you in this place this morning. Your night that you're going through, and your storm that you've been going through for many nights, there's two things. One, you need to hear from God. And number two, you need to believe what God said. It's not what the storm's saying. It's not what the night's saying. It's what does say the word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Give him praise if you've ever believed a word that he has spoken into your life. Hallelujah. What did the word of God say? It said that you're more than a conqueror. Do you believe God? He said you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you believe God? He said you can have a peace that passeth all understanding. Do you believe God? He said you can find the hidden treasure. Do you believe God? You can find the bread of life. Do you believe God? David said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Do you believe God? Do you believe what he said? My God, your whole world can change. You could have come in here one way this morning and leave out a different person. And it's all based on one thing. Do you believe God? Whosoever believeth in him will not perish. My God, it's whosoever believeth. My blessed Lord. I want to show you something in closing here this morning. Let's look at Genesis 32, verses 24 through 28. I want to show you a man who put his family across the creek. And he went back, and the Bible said, and Jacob was left alone. It's been 20 years, and now he's about to face his brother. And when he left, his brother said, I'm going to kill him the next time I see him. And Jacob has been gone 20 years. And on tomorrow, he's going to see the man that wants to kill him. Whew. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, all night long. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I mean, it's a night. Have you ever had a night where you fought it out? My blessed God. Hallelujah. And yet he said to him, you know, he never healed that thigh. He never healed that joint. Jacob limped on that thigh for the rest of his life. But he had more power limping than he did with both legs working just fine. Hallelujah. And he said, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, it's Jacob. Jacob means supplanter. Jacob means heel catcher. Jacob means one who's going to replace somebody. And he said, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Israel means a prince. A prince is the child of a king. You see, sometimes we want the night to be over and we want to get out of the night and we want to get out of the storm and we want God to fix the storm and we want God to fix the night. But sometimes when we wrestle all night, look at this story. Look at this little picture. God didn't fix the world around him. He just changed him. No longer will you be Jacob. Now you're a prince. My God. Let's look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the, say it with me, the light of men. Oh, nighttime, but in him was life, and the life was the light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It's telling me that this darkness that we're in is not the darkness of the sun or the moon, but it's the darkness of our mental thinking. Because it's there that you don't comprehend the light, and we walk around in darkness, and the light is of men. And there was a man sent from God who was named John the Baptist. The same came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Oh, that's the key. Oh, he was not the light, not John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of the light, that the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Oh, the true light. Whenever the night tries to come on you, you remind the night, oh, inside of me is the light. Hallelujah. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. What did Jacob become? He became the child of a king. He became a prince. Oh, you're no longer a supplanter. You're no longer a heel catcher. You're no longer the tail, but you're the head. You're no longer the loser, but you're the winner. Hallelujah. Even to them that believe on his name. My God, my God. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Lord. Isn't it amazing that on that Christmas morning, oh, the Bible says that they were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory shone round about them. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you this day in the city of David is born the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and he shall be to all people. And the Bible said, and suddenly there was with the angel a heavenly host, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I want to tell you something. I'm telling you how to overcome the night. And you see, on that night, he was born at night, but the light overcame them, and it was so bright, like it was the noonday. It was brighter than the daytime. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said, when he called me, I saw a light at noonday that was brighter than the noonday sun. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about a light that the night can't ever take over. I'm talking about a light that the night can't put out. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. On that night when he was born, the heavens lit up and the light was everywhere. But on that Easter when he died and he said, it is finished, it was at high noon. And the Bible said when he died, the whole earth became black and the night appeared. I just stopped by here to tell you that your power to overcoming the night is to know the one who can light up your life. Hallelujah. Y'all throw that old song together, we'll need no light in that city that John saw coming down. For Jesus will be there. His glory will abound. We'll need no light in that city of never-ending day. For the Lamb of God will take the night away. Hallelujah. You're going to have power with God and with man. Could you say that with me? I have power with God and with man. You know, when you see a king, probably the person with the most power with the king would be his child. In other words, you're a prince and you're a princess, and you've got power with the king. Nothing breaks the king's heart more than a loss of his child. Oh my God, it's been a great day. If I hadn't helped you, I've helped me. Sing the song, and when they finish, you're dismissed. Bless the Lord.